service if these are your keys. So, this morning's scripture reading comes from the book of the prophet Samuel in the third chapter, and it's going to be on the screen here before you. So I'll read the scripture first, and then we'll get into the sermon from that. So this is a story about Samuel as he is a young boy, and this is really before Samuel has received this sense of call from God. He's a servant of Eli and continues to minister to him. But as it says in the scripture reading, the word of God is not really well heard in those days, and Samuel is not hearing God very clearly himself. And this is really the first sense that Samuel gets that God is calling him to some larger purpose. But he finds a little confusion in all of that and really struggles to hear what God is offering to him. And so helps us to give a little context to the scripture passage in chapter 3. So that's going to be on the screen here before you. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel!" And he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both the ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that God told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A couple of weeks ago, I did a sermon in which I articulated to you all the idea that God's presence is all around us, and yet a lot of the times we're not slowing ourselves down enough to be able to hear God's voice or to feel God's presence or see God moving around us. And my suggestion to all of us was that God is constantly around us, and yet we have difficulty sometimes seeing it. We're always in a rush. We're off to the next thing. We have lots to do. And we really are not sensitive to how God is moving. So what I did was I made a little card that looked like this. Many of you picked this up a while back or 2 weeks ago. And it basically on this side says, "Stop, look, and listen." And then on the back side had these questions. Some people are carrying it with them now, which is a great thing. If you'd like to have one, I can give you one. I still have a stack of them. And so I would ask you the question, did this make a difference? Did you see something different as you stopped to slow down? Christine's looking at me like, "Nah, it didn't make any difference whatsoever." Did it make any difference at all? So I have to tell you that I have this on my dashboard in the car, and sometimes it gets there. It's on the dashboard, and I don't see it all the time. But every now and then, I'll look over at it, and it'll make a difference. It'll help me to look around me in a different way. I'll sense things around me that I hadn't sensed before. And I'll hear things in a different way because I have this reminder to slow down and to listen for the still small voice of God. And so I'm hopeful that if you did this, that what you were able to perceive was God's presence. And a lot of the times when we think about God's presence, we think of it as love and beauty and truth and joy and just these feelings of wonder and awe as you know, I'm driving across 90 and I see the mountains in front of me. And I look at that, and that makes me stop, look, and listen. And I feel the presence of God in these beautiful snow-capped mountains that we sometimes can't see here in Washington that I'm driving across, and I look at that, and I think how beautiful and wonder that is. What majesty this is, and how it provides for me a witness of God's presence in the world. Now, what I want to ask of you is this. What happens when what you hear from God instead is unsettling or challenging, a difficult word to hear, that we might see something that disturbs us or shakes us or wakes us up? That's a little bit harder for us to manage. We want to see it as truth and beauty and joy and love and peace. But when we see things that shake us and challenge us and confront us and disturb us, those are the things that we kind of want to go, well, you know, I don't really like looking at those things. That's a little too hard. And we sometimes will walk past them. But the question I want to ask you is, in your stopping and looking and listening, as you go through life, are you able to see God in those things? In the things that maybe stir your soul and shake you in a way that maybe is challenging for you? And do we hear the voice of God in that? There's a story about a man who's walking to look at the beauty of nature, and he's looking at this wonderful scene on the edge of a cliff. But while he's walking, he slips off the edge and starts to fall. And as he's falling, he grabs this branch, and he's holding on to the branch. And he's trying to figure out a way to get out of this circumstance, but nobody else is around. He can't get out. He can't climb out of the circumstance. So he's holding onto this branch. And finally, he figures there's nothing else to do, so he closes his eyes and he says, God, if you were there, rescue me from these circumstances. And he's waiting and waiting and waiting, and finally he hears this voice. And the voice comes out from the heavens, Son, this is your God that is calling to you. If you love me and if you trust me, you'll let go of the branches. And there's this long pause, and then the man says, is there anybody else up there? And I wonder sometimes when we think about how God speaks to us, that when we hear it as truth and beauty and love and peace, we hear that and are so grateful that God is moving in our lives. But when we see God and hear God in the things that disturb us and challenge us, things that shake our spirits and make us feel a sense of despair, whether we hear God's voice in that, or are we like in my funny story saying, well, is God someplace else? Is there God? Is God speaking in a different way? Or I don't really want to hear it in that way, but I want to hear it in this way. But the suggestion that the scripture passage is making is maybe it is that that is where God speaks most clearly to us, is in the things that shake us and disturb us in this life. That's what's happening in the passage from Samuel, from 1 Samuel. Samuel is listening for the voice of someone who is calling to him, and he hears his voice being audibly called, Samuel, Samuel. But his first thought is that it is his master Eli. So three times he goes to Eli and asks, well, you called me. I'm here. What is it that you need? And Eli says, I didn't call you. Go back and lie down again. And Eli comes to believe that it is God that is talking to Samuel. And he says, so the next time you hear that voice, say to God, speak, for your servant is listening. And so this fourth time he goes down to sleep and he hears again his voice, Samuel, Samuel, calling his name. And he opens himself up and he says, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. But instead of receiving a message of joy and hope and peace and promise and love, what he gets instead is a message of condemnation and judgment against his master Eli. Eli has been unfaithful. His sons have been blaspheming against God, and they have been unjust in their lives. And so when Samuel hears this word, he is so disturbed that he goes back to bed. Now, if God had talked to me, I don't know if I'd be willing to just go back to sleep. But the reason why he went back to sleep, I think, was because he had to really come to figure how he could hear God in that word and how he could actually offer that word to someone that he loves, his master Eli. But as he goes to bed, he wonders what he would do with that. He wakes up in the morning and Eli asks him the question that he doesn't want to hear, which is, "Did God talk to you last night?" And Samuel is just perplexed at how he could actually say this word to his master Eli because he loves him so much. But Eli beckons him and calls him and says, "Speak that word. Do not hide it from me." And when Samuel speaks that word, even Eli is touched by this because he's received that vision before. He knows that his sons have been unfaithful to God. And he knows in this that the word that he is hearing is an important word for him that he might make his house right. It's not an easy word for Eli to hear, but it is an important word for Eli to hear. So what I want to suggest to all of us today in thinking about stop and look and listen and how it is that God speaks to us, that we would like to hear it in truth and beauty and joy and love. And we do feel the presence and the voice of God coming out of those circumstances. But what I want to suggest to all of us today as well is the recognition that sometimes God comes to us in the most difficult of circumstances, speaking in situations that are heartbreaking and that challenge us to think about how we live in community, what it is that we are about in this life, where our values lie in the midst of all of the challenges and changes of values that are happening all around us. That it is sometimes in the spirit that disturbs us most that God speaks to us most clearly. But I don't think we're willing to hear that. We want to be like Samuel. We just pull the covers over our head because it's so difficult to hear that. How many of you are living in a situation right now where you know that you have to speak the truth in love to someone? Not to criticize or to tear them down, but you know that there's something that they are missing in their lives, and that if you could communicate it in such a way that it might help them to turn so that they could find a more healthy and whole way to live. But how difficult it is to say those words. Think about some of our life circumstances and how that plays itself out in a very practical way in our lives. How many of us know people who live unhealthily and need a word that says, you know, you need to eat better, you need to exercise more? How many of us live in circumstances where we see someone who's off on a path that we know is not going to lead them into a good place and feel like God is now calling us to say a word in love that says, maybe it is that this isn't the right path for you? All of us have circumstances and situations like that, but we all know how difficult it is for us to say those words. But I wonder sometimes if that is how God is working within us, to be able to give us the strength to sometimes say those words, even as they are very difficult for us to do. And that we might in that see, as other people interact with us, the voices of God that come to us through those kinds of words that challenge us and shake us and wake us and disturb us. But as they disturb us, they help us to see how God's Spirit is working in this life to bring about wholeness and healing in this world. A couple of years ago, Pam and I went to Asian American Summer Camp, and I wasn't actually going to the camp, but Pam was going, and we were trying to plan this program, and she kept getting stuck on trying to get the kids to really open up to some of the things that they're struggling with in their lives and some of the things that they see around them that are really disturbing. And so then we came up with this program. We called the program, What Breaks Your Heart? And so we gave them a little heart, and we said, you know, what is it that breaks your heart? What are the things around you that you see that make you sad or disturb you? And you should have heard some of the things that the kids wrote on their paper about parents that were in conflict with each other, about their friends who were drug addicted, about the poor people that live in their community who don't get any help. And they put all of these hearts on the wall, and it was fascinating to see the breadth and the depth of our youth as they thought about all of the things that disturbed them. But the challenge of the program for the youth was to say, now the question is this. What are you going to do with that? More than just putting it up on the wall, more than just looking at what it says, what will you now do with that? If it breaks your heart, what are you willing to do to help to heal that? Maybe one life at a time. But will you do something to help to heal that? Not just for yourself, but for the other person and for the kingdom ultimately. That is the challenge for us as we think about how God speaks to us. Maybe it is that God is speaking to us a word that is so very difficult to hear, and yet we need to open ourselves up to it so that God can speak to us in a way that helps us to live more whole and healthy lives. Maybe it is that we need to make some changes in the ways that we are living, some of the challenges we are in with health and aging concerns. I know that when we think about those for ourselves, for our loved ones, we realize how difficult that is. And yet know that that is sometimes how God talks to us most, and feel that sense that God is shaking us up to see something new and different. But it is in this that we are then called to respond. What will we do with that, and how will it challenge us and change us in our lives? I was thinking about Martin Luther King this weekend, and I have this book that is most fascinating. The book is called Becoming King, Becoming King. And the book itself is built on stories about Martin Luther King as he came to face those kinds of barriers in his life. The book is really about the Montgomery bus boycott. But in every circumstance, King finding himself struggling to hear God, sometimes in situations where he was facing great hardship and struggle and suffering, he saw challenges that were before him. He was being asked to step forward in leadership. You have to remember, at the time of the Montgomery bus boycott, Martin Luther King was a 26-year-old local church pastor who was being asked to step forward in his community to offer a word of clarity that helped to speak for the African-American community in the South. There's one particular story that I wanted to share with you all, and I'm going to just read it directly. This comes from this book called Becoming King. And this was in a very critical moment in his life. He had already become, he had responded to and accepted this position of leadership in the Montgomery, what was called the Montgomery Improvement Association. And in that, felt that sense of responsibility, but also felt great challenges from that. And so I want to read this passage from this book for you. Following this get tough policy by Mayor Gale there in Montgomery, the number of threats made against boycotts had boycotts against the bus line. You remember how this all happened. This was Rosa Parks sitting in the front of the bus, and then from that came a bus boycott as she was arrested. So let's see here. Continuing, threats made against bus boycott participants grew significantly. King continued to be one of the primary recipients of hate-filled letters and phone calls. One night late in January, the phone rang just as King was heading to bed. A threatening voice told King that by next week, you'll be sorry you ever came to Montgomery. At that moment, the torrent of threats and stresses of leadership overwhelmed King. Unable to sleep, he made some coffee and deliberated how to gracefully remove himself from the leadership of the Montgomery Improvement Association. Exhausted and overwhelmed, King decided to practice what he preached by bringing his situation to God. He later remembered the tenor of his prayer. I am here taking a stand for what I believe is right, but now I am afraid. The people are looking to me for leadership, and if I stand before them without strength and courage, they too will falter. I am at the end of my powers. I have nothing left. I've come to the point where I can't face it alone. In later recounting, King remembered, at that moment, I experienced the presence of the divine as I never had experienced him before. It seemed as though I could hear the quiet assurance of an inner voice saying, stand up for righteousness, stand up for truth, and God will be at your side forever. Almost at once, my fears began to go. My uncertainty disappeared. I was ready to face anything. This prayer would serve as a defining moment in the personal faith and his leadership of the Montgomery movement. What a reminder it is for us for the kinds of struggles that we face. They may not be monumental like a Montgomery bus boycott, but we do face those kinds of challenges in our days where we feel weak and unable to stand in the midst of all of the stresses and struggles that are all around us. And this is not just in our own personal lives. Of course, we talk about it in that context, but we realize when we look at our country and see folks who have no shelter, who cannot find a meal, who are looking for someone to care for them, that we realize that we as a country are also experiencing the voice of God in so many ways, in places where we are being shaken and disturbed by what is going on around us. And what we are being asked to do is to respond in that. But my prayer is that we might be able to do exactly what Dr. King did, and that is to go to God, to seek God's guidance and leadership in our lives, and come to discover that it is God who will give us the confidence to know that when that voice is clear, and when we believe God is calling us, that when we step out in faith, God will give us the strength to continue on. God will give us the ability to face whatever it is that is coming to us. And that in that word that comes from God, we will come to find that even as we are disturbed by what is going on around us, even as we find ourselves shaken at our core by the things that challenge us in our lives, even as we find our heart breaking, that we might feel that God is speaking to us clearly in this. And the question then for us is, what will we do now? A few years ago, I was ministering to a church in Southern California, and I was talking to this young mother. She was telling me the story about her life, and she was telling me about her working with and being challenged by a drug-addicted son. And she started seeing counseling because she needed some guidance and some help to be able to deal with what was just a perplexing problem. She found that every time she tried to take him in and support him, he would fall again. Every time she tried to give him a word that would encourage him, he would fall again. And so she went to this counselor and asked the counselor how she could help her son to get off of drugs and how she could love him best. And the counselor said a word that it was so difficult for her to hear. The counselor said, you know, everything that you are doing supports his drug habit. When you feed him, he uses the money that he would have for food and buys drugs. When you give him shelter, he is enabled to find a comfortable place to live, but then goes out to continue to support this drug habit. And so what you must do and how you can love him best is to send him away, not feed him, not put shelter over his head. And this mother was torn apart by that word. What parent could do that to a child that they had raised? But what she realized was what she had been doing wasn't helping either. And so she came into a place where she heard a very difficult word. And she was relating this story to me about how she sent her son away. And he was sitting on the porch waiting for his mother to take him back in. And she's sitting inside the house crying because she wants to take him back in, but knows if she takes him back in, all she's doing is supporting his drug habit because he refused to get help any other way. Now imagine what that must feel like as a parent. Now, I know that that's an extreme example, but what I want to say to all of us is we face circumstances very much like that in our lives, where we realize the road that God is calling us on is a hard road, that it's a road that we are going to face opposition, that we are going to feel weak and unable to move forward, that we are going to find that somehow we are going to feel like we just need to sit down because we don't have the strength to continue on. And my prayer is that what we will find in this is a resolve that comes from God's guidance and leadership in our lives. And what we will come to discover instead is that God gives us the resources to walk the hard road, to do the difficult thing, to stand up to the opposition that is before us, and be able to do it in such a way that we can know that we have followed where God is leading us. And as we do, that God will do a good work in us and through us for others. I know that the word I'm giving you this day, it's not an easy word. I recognize that. We each have situations in our lives that are just like that. And yet, the challenge for us is to hear the voice of God within those circumstances, as difficult as they are, and hear God's leading and guiding word that says, walk the hard road and know that I will be with you. And know that as you walk that hard road, I will do a good work in you and I will do a good work through you. And I will establish my kingdom here on earth through the work that you would do in the small corner that you live in this life. And so let us hear that word and that call in our lives. May we follow that. May we hear God's leadership and guidance. And may we step forward in faith, seeking to have God's strength and courage guide us and lead us. But know that God has called us onto this hard road, and may we follow and walk that road with God. Let's join together for a word of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we know that the word that we have heard this day from the scripture reading from 1 Samuel, and the word that we bring this day here in the sanctuary, it is a difficult word. We know that you are a God of love. We know that you are a God of peace and joy. And so we bask in that, are thankful for that when we can experience this in our lives. But we acknowledge, O God, that sometimes your love, it looks different than we would envision it to be. That sometimes love, it's a hard road. Sometimes love, it takes words that are challenging for others and for ourselves. Sometimes justice and freedom are words that we know they are going to take a great deal of work. And that words like equality and community, these are words that are not going to come easy. And so you remind us this day, O God, that you call us sometimes onto a hard road. It's easy for us to pull the covers over our head and say that we don't want to follow. And yet you remind us, O God, that as we are servants of yours and disciples of yours, and you call us to establish your kingdom here on earth, that it is necessary for us to step into the hard road and walk that road with you, that you might do a good work in us and through us. And so in this, O God, we know that we feel a sense of unworthiness and wonder whether we can walk that road. My prayer, O God, this day is that you would remind us that wherever we would go and whatever we would do and however we would follow, you will be with us. And so be with us, O God, in this, as we seek to walk the hard road and know that as you call us forth in faith, that we desire to hear and in hearing follow. You call our name this day, O God.